It's the last Chumash year of the Zman today, and I think we're going to try to keep it a little bit shorter than it usually goes, relatively. Usually the last shear of the Zman is a kind of farewell type of a shear, where I talk about my Rebbeim and my past experiences and some of the things that I try to give over and take stock of the year as a whole. And sadly, good percentage of the Talmidim Zechet to have an Ashir this year are not really here. And so there's a percentage, a small percentage, so it doesn't really fit. On the other hand, we are coming to the end of the Zman, and have to give Haidah for the Zman that was, everything that we got and took from it, and also to try to get some chizuk as we go further. People leaving this week, next week, a few days after that. And so it's one more Chumash year, and Be'ezus Hashem, hopefully, take something away from it. The Parsha this week is the longest Parsha that we lain in the Torah in terms of Matis and Masse. It's always bothered me why we put these two together. I mean, neither one of them are really particularly short. I think if you have to give a teretz, so you realize that in Matis, there's an awful lot of names, and there's also an awful lot of numbers. And, like, you know, that's easy, and it flows, and it goes through. Masseh, on the other hand, that's easier. You take the first part of Masseh, and the entire first part of Masseh is just, you know, Vayachanu, Vayiso, Vayachanu, Vayiso, with its own cute little trup, and, you know, whatever. It goes very fast, a lot of psukim, but it's one, two, three right after the other. But it's on that whole keta over there, the beginning of Masseh, that Rashi asks the question that what's all this doing here? You know, what do you have to go through instant replay all of the Masseh? Rashi says, Lama nechtevu ha-Masseh alalu. Why do you have all the Masseh there? Why do we got to go through everything again? And Rashi basically tells us two terutzim. One is B'Shem Rabbeinu Moshe Darshan. He says that basically it's coming to tell us the chesed of Hashem, that even though there were so many Masais, if you figure it out, they actually moved very, very infrequently. And that's the first teretz. And the second teretz, which to me is always the more emotional teretz, the second teretz he quotes in Medrash Tanchuma. Medrash Tanchuma says, Darsh by Drasha Acheres. Mashal Melech Shahaya B'nai Chayla. It's a mashal of a king that his son was sick. V'haylichay L'makim Rachayk. And he took him away to a far place where Fuasa. Kivan Shayu Chayzrim, when they're coming back, Hischil Aviv Mayne Kala Masais. His father started to count all of the places where they traveled. Amalai kam kan yishanenu. Over here, this is where we slept. Kan oikarnu. Over here, this is where you got cold. Kan chashashtas roishcha. Over here is where, you know, you felt really miserable. You had a terrible headache. And so after the whole journey, we recount all of the memories in a very emotional type of way. Rashi brings the Tanchuma. Over here you were sick. Over here you got cold. Over here you had a headache. And now, Baruch Hashem, we went to the doctor, and now you come back, and, you know, we remember what it was before. It's very interesting that if you look at the Tanchuma itself, the Tanchuma basically says what Rashi does, but he has one difference, which is very, very awkward. The Tanchuma says, Eilu Masseh Bnei Yisrael, Mashal Ma Adavar Daimel, Melech Shahi Bnei Chayla. Since they come back, his skill aviv mayne kol ha-masais, his father began to count all the Masais. V'amalei kan yeshaninu, kan oikarnu, kan chashashta esroishcha, the same thing. Kach amalei HaKadosh Baruch Hu Moshe. Menela hem kol hamakaymes, I'm sorry. Amalei HaKadosh Baruch Hu Moshe. Menela hem kol hamakaymes. Count for them all of the places, and then he throws in two extra words. Heichon hichisuni, where they made me angry. L'kach nemar elam ha'aseh b'nei Yisrael. So you look at Rashi, what does Rashi say? Let's go through all the different places, and it sounds very beautiful, very nice. We were all traveling to the doctor this way. You slept this way, you got cold, this is where you had a headache. The Tanchuma throws in, count for everybody, all these places, the same thing, where you were cold, where you had a headache, where you slept, so that they remember where they made me angry. So first of all, like, why does Rashi, like, hijack the Tanchuma and say something else? He leaves out that, you know, unfortunate detail. But the second thing is that, it doesn't really make sense. Because if you look at the Lashon of the Tanchuma, it does sound very, very, you know, with the violins playing in the background. Let's just remember where we were when we went to the doctor. And on the other hand, where does Heichon Kiasuni really fit in? It doesn't really seem to fit into the picture. He's recounting how it was when they went to the doctor. And it sounds very, you know, what's it called? Just recounting the past. Very nostalgic. And then he throws in this thing in the Tanchuma, Heichon Chiyosuni. Well, what's going on over here? Because that's one thing I'd like to talk about. The other thing, which is, it's really an unrelated topic, but okay, we're on the 3 weeks, and we started talking about the 3 weeks last week. The Bein HaMitzarim. And the Bein HaMitzarim is Shiva Asar B'Tammuz and Tisha B'Av, which we talked about last week, was supposed to be Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur. Why? Because these were the 2 days that we had a chance to go back to the way that we were supposed to be, Adam Rishon, Kodem Achet, as we talked about last week. This week, let's add another dimension. Why is it that Shiva Asar B'Tammuz and Tisha B'Av are considered to be these two mitzarim? What are these two mitzarim? So you take a look at the Mishnah in Tainis. We all know the Mishnah in Tainis. It's Magdir. What is Shiva Asar B'Tammuz and what is Tisha B'Av? Chamisha Dvarim Iru Es Aviseinu B'Shiva Asar B'Tammuz V'Chamisha B'Tisha B'Av. 5 things happened on Shiva Asar B'Tammuz and 5 happened on Tisha B'Av. What's Shiva Asar B'Tammuz? B'Shiva Asar B'Tammuz Nishtabru Aluchais. Number 1, the Luchais got broken. Bitel atamid, huvka ir, v'saraf apustamis atayra, v'hemit selam b'heichal. So those are the 5 things that happened on Shiva Asar B'Tammuz. Tisha B'Av we know, nigzal v'seinu shali konsul aretz, v'charav abayis rishayna, v'shniya, v'nilka debetar, v'nechor shayhir. What is the common denominator between the 5 of Shiva Asar B'Tammuz and the common denominator of Tisha B'Av? It's been suggested with a lot of pirush based on morals that Shiva Asar B'Tammuz, the geder of Shiva Asar B'Tammuz, what was destroyed on Shiva Asar B'Tammuz was the Maseiros HaTorah. Starting with the Shviras Aluchos, that's the ultimate destruction of Maseiros HaTorah at the get-go. It downgraded it. The Sreifa Satira, is just another form of the Shvira Saluchas, but if there was no Shvira Saluchas, so you never would be able to burn a Torah. Every piece of Torah never would have been forgotten. Every piece of Torah would have been forever. Bitul Atamid is also a form of destruction of Maseiros HaTorah. Why? Everybody knows it from the Kriya Satira. Oilas Tamid Vasuya Bar Sinai. The first carbon was where at Har Sinai, and the tamid that we brought every day in the Beis HaMikdash was a hemshech of that tamid on Har Sinai. Butal atamid means is that that stopped at a certain point, and even if it got restarted, there was a break. It got weakened. Selam Behechel. Maimid Har Sinai says the Ramban went to where? Went to the Mishkan, went to the Beis HaMikdash. When you put a tselem like the eagle and the heichal, the same thing happens all over again. That Maseris gets weakened. And finally, the fifth thing is the Pirtza of Yerushalayim, Kimitziyim Teitzei Sera. Yerushalayim was the place of Torah. Yerushalayim was the place which was bursting forth in Torah. When you breach the walls of Yerushalayim, making it into a Rishus HaRabim, where you have influences from all over, and not just the Rishus HaYachid, enclosed by the walls, so that power of what Yerushalayim was supposed to be, that Torah, got destroyed. So Shiva Asar B'Tammuz is the Churban of Maseiros HaTorah. What's Tisha B'Av? Tisha B'Av is the Churban of the Malchus of Klal Yisrael that was supposed to be a Malchus L'Netzach. The Chet HaMeraglim basically said that we're going to go into Golus. It all happened from the Chet HaMeraglim. If we would have gone into Eretz Yisrael straight, we never would have gone into Golus. Without the 40 years, we never would have gone into Golus. So Malchus Klal Yisrael gets a pagam. Churban Bayis Rishon, Churban Bayis Sheni, that's self-understood. Churban Beitar, what was Churban Beitar? Churban Beitar wasn't the city Beitar. Who was in Beitar? Bar Kochba. You look at the Rambam. Bar Kochba was supposed to be the Melech HaMashiach. With the destruction of Beitar and Bar Kochba, the potential Melech HaMashiach at that Tekufa was gone. And finally, Nechrusha, Makam HaMikdash, that basically says, okay, you're down to ground zero. That Makam HaMishkan, which was supposed to be the place of the Malchus of Klal Yisrael, the Makam HaMikdash, so we have to start all over again. So you have these two markers. Churban of the Maseiros HaTorah and Churban of the Malchus. But let's just ask ourselves about that. So what do the two have to do with each other? And where are we standing in between these two mitzarim? What's our job now? What was always our job? What's our job for the future? So what's the Hechan Kiya Sunni? And what are we supposed to take from these two markers of the Churban of Maseiros HaTorah and the Churban of Malchus of Klal Yisrael? Now, I had one of these experiences this morning where I was just transported. Definitely, you know, whatever. Definitely was based on the Tekufa and just supposed to happen. I was supposed to have something to say in this year. But my parents came back to Eretz Yisrael about 2 weeks ago. They brought me a couple of books. So one book was one of my favorite books of all time, which I lent to somebody, apparently, and it was never returned to me, so I was missing it for a long time. They came and they brought it back. But then there was another book that they brought for me, that it was this book that really did it to me today. And my Rebbe, Rabbi Wein, so his yartzeh are going to be in about a month. They've just finished 11 months. They finished the Kaddish, I think, this week. And I remember when I was at the Levayis, they made an announcement that his last book was going to be ready to put to print a couple of months after, you know, after his Patira. But it was already, you know, it was ready. What the topic was, I had absolutely no idea. But, you know, I knew that this thing was coming out. But Kitzer and my parents brought in this book, which came out a number of months ago. And I read the introduction, you know, written by his editor, which she writes over there that how did he write a book? He couldn't see. So basically, and you see, if you start to read part of the book, it's not his writing style. He called her in, and he just talked, and they recorded what he talked, and they put together a book. So that's what this book was. But she said in the introduction that this book was, of all of the books that he wrote in his lifetime, there were a lot, that this was his favorite one. This was his favorite one. What was the topic of the book? And when I saw what the topic of the book was, I understood why it was his favorite one. Topic of the book was great people who made an impression, who made an influence on my life. People from his family, his rabbeim, high school, Beis Medrash, after that, And then Kama Vakama Gedele Yisrael, who he interfaced with, and the lasting impression that they made on him. I understood why this was his favorite book. But then a strange thing happened to me. You know, after you look at an introduction, so a lot of times you just, you know, start going through and you leaf through the book. Pictures, whatever. And that's what I did. Started to leaf through the book, and I saw pictures, you know, pictures of Rav Yashar Ber, the story that I told a couple of weeks ago about being cynical from Rav Yashar Ber. It's in the book, and I got it right. I was very happy. It was like, bidiyuk, exactly the way he told it. It's in writing. But I started looking at all the pictures of Yaakov Kamenetsky, Rav Yashar Ber, and his grandparents, and his father, who I knew from Muncie, and everything like that. And I lost it. I just lost it. I just became so emotional. I started to read after that, and I couldn't see the pages. Now, whenever you have a reaction like that, it's for a reason. So I'm sitting there trying to figure out, what happened to me? Why did I get so emotional about all this? So my first thing is, okay, fine, you know, whatever. It's almost the yard site. And Mistama, that's what happened. But then I realized, I looked at his picture, and I looked at his introduction, and, I did not have the same reaction. So what was it? Why was it that when I went through all these pictures, all the different things, what did it? And then I realized that by looking at all the pictures, what I really just done was get an overview for myself of really what the theme of the entire book is about, which was really what he was all about, and which is something also that touches me very, very deeply in a very, very personal way. And that is being mekabel a mesira from great people, making it part of who you are as a person, as a laymeid, but also as somebody who's lilmeid almanas lasseis, to do, to change yourself as a person, and to change the world. And then, ultimately, after you've changed yourself through getting from all of these great people, then hopefully being able to give it over to other people as well. That, to me, without having read the book, I heard a lot of the tapes that they took the book from, so it's not going to be an entire surprise. But that's what it's all about. And that's what my Rabbi Wine was about also. It pushed. I think that to me, that's why it was so overwhelming. I think I was meant to see that today, as you know, it's the last Chumash year, coming to end of another good year. It's something that I touched base with. But it's something that a person has to appreciate as he learns, and as he acts. And really, it interfaces with a number of the topics which we brought up before. Why is it that the Tanchuma throws in this extra nakuda over here and says, you know, remember all the masais. Remember where we slept in this place. And remember where we slept in the other place. And here you were sick. And here you were cold. And here you had a headache. And we took care of you. And then he throws in another thing, and remember, says the Rabbeinu Shalom, remember, Heichan Chikiyasuni. So what's with all the violins playing? I've always felt, and maybe the reason that Rashi doesn't throw it in is because it's so obvious. The point of the Tanchuma is that you have to remember all of your experiences. You have to remember all of your experiences. And not with an ugh, not with an oi, but it has to be pleasant. You have to like going back to your past and re-experiencing your past. And that's what the Masois is all about. But the Heichan Chiyasuni is that if you're just going back to relive it so that, you know, you can enjoy it because it's entertaining, to remember all the good old days, to look at your high school yearbook, or your Tomo yearbook, or the Purim video, or whatever it's going to be, that's kimat a waste of time. You got to take something out of it. What did we do right? And what did we do wrong? Heichan chiasuni. Where was Rabbi Shalom not so pleased? Where is there room for improvement? And that's what a person always has to do when he goes through a year, when he goes through life. Remember everything and remember all of your past and cherish it. But on the other hand, look for the places where you were weak. Look at the places where there's room for improvement. And that's one thing that a person should reflect on at the end of a year. The second thing, and maybe this interfaces more with the experience that I had this morning, is these two towers of Shiva Asar B'Tammuz and Tisha B'Av. Shiva Asar B'Tammuz is the time of Maseiros HaTorah. Shiva Asar B'Tammuz is where the Maseiros HaTorah that we were supposed to have, so it took a hit. And really, what are we in this world for? What is the tafkid of every Jew? Not just the Rebbe, but every Jew, every father, v'shinantam levonecha. Every person is here to be mekabel Torah from the people who give it to him, to make use of the experiences that he has, his parents, his rebbeim, all the great people that he has a zechus to know, and to incorporate all those messages, all the skills, all the knowledge, to make himself into a different person. That's Shiva Asar B'Tammuz. We don't have it the way that we should have it because of Shviras Aluchas and all the other things. But that's the first thing that we're supposed to do. But then the next step in our life is that after we've learned Torah, and after we've absorbed, so it's not enough to just take it for ourselves. There's the idea of taking all the things that we learn and using them to bring about Malchus Shemayim. L'sakein olam b'malchus shin dalet yud. You're supposed to learn in order to transform yourself, and you're supposed to transform yourself in order to transform the world, in order to make the world the world that HaKadosh Baruch Hu wanted it to be. And that's the process that we're part of. Learning, becoming, changing everything around us. And Be'ezus Hashem, that's supposed to be our mission in life. I wish that more people were still here. I wish that I had whatever it is. I wish that the Hechet Timsa was that I could really, say a proper goodbye to everybody. It's not going to happen because it's like the moment is gone. If I would have known, I would have done this last week. But Afal Pikein, I do want to take the opportunity, and hopefully some of the people will hear it, will hear it on the recording. And just to say that, number one, everybody needs to be makir tov for the experience that we had together this year. Every single person who is in this year and is in this year presently, was in this year before, and I made a point of going to talk to the Rosh Yeshiva earlier in the week just to to tell him in technicolor about how everybody grew, and there's no question, there's nobody who's in the same place at all that he was in the beginning of the year. And it's a tremendous thing, and people should appreciate that in themselves. And even with the Heichan Chiasuni, what could I have done better? You realize that it was step by step by step by step. People absorbed a lot, people changed a lot, and people should appreciate that. I also, on a personal level, I also want to be makir tov to the Yalom because, your growth is my growth, but it's more than that. It keeps me going. And, without the tzibur, without the Yalom, so then my limud haTorah would be much more mono rather than stereo or dynamic. And it's a tremendous opportunity. But most of all, this is the challenge. The challenge is that, once you've gotten to this step, so then step one takes it to step two and to step three, is that a person has to absorb what they get from the people around them, the new skills, the new way of doing things, the new ways of, hopefully, people have understood how to organize a sugya better, how to delve to the lumdus better than they were able to before, in a real honest way, not looking for any, you know, whatever, not looking for any hashra'ot or inspirations of what's a deep lumdish idea, but just realizing how the text and how the questions in the sugya necessitate saying a deep lumdus. People absorb that, so then they themselves become transformed. And then, not only do they become transformed, but Malchus says that you got to transform the world all around you. You're still young, you got time for that. But at least you should be familiar with the musig. And so, with this at the year's end, I just want to give everybody a bracha, for bracha v'hatzlacha and everything. Those of you who are not going to be back next year, we should keep in touch and get everybody's email and some phone numbers and what's it called. Those of you who are going to be here, so then we'll continue to see each other, Bez Hashem, and continue to shteik from each other, even from a distance. But the main thing is that step one goes to step two, goes to step three. And first is the learning, and then is transforming yourself. And then after that, after you transform yourself, so it's taking it to the next level, to everybody, to everything around you. Everybody should have a good summer, and bracha v'hatzlacha. And of course, before that, so everybody should have a good Shabbos.